All right, welcome members. Adam plugging in here on Sunday night, the 24th of April 2022 for the Night Watch podcast. Hope you guys are doing fine out there in very strange times and you are safe. Thanks for listening into the podcast and supporting me. Of course, I can't do it without you. It's just great to have you guys on board, and it's great to have some members so we can do this kind of content. It's great to have the website still up there and rock and rolling. Been doing some great shows lately, and thanks so much for some great comments and emails coming through, and some of the members putting in a little bit extra here and there. You guys are awesome, but just thanks so much for your support. You're supporting me here on the ground in Sydney, Australia, and it's great to be on deck with you guys tonight. Lots happening, huh? It's amazing. Bloody hard to keep up, isn't it? Sometimes I'm moving around in the day and I'm thinking of things and I'm like, I really need to cover that. And then when it gets to this time now, I forget. There's just so much going on. It's really crazy at the moment. So you've got to make sure that you keep in focus, you know, otherwise you'll go a bit nuts with everything that's happening. And that's what it's all about. It's a massive worldwide psyop to keep people confused and dumbed down and in a fear state. And that's what's happening. Unfortunately, well, sadly, but unbelievably, most people don't even know that. They think they're living in a normal society, but they're living under a spell. They're everywhere. It's amazing. And I don't judge them. I'm just looking in the day, and it's, as I said on the last shows, everybody's walking around like everything's normal and nothing ever happened. Because the big brother, daddy, nanny state government has given them a few freedoms back, so they're out enjoying their lives. Sometimes I think, God, is it better to be like that than like me? I'm worrying all the time about what may be coming, what's looming on the horizon, you know? And these people just don't seem to have a care in the world. They're happy as Larry. For them, nothing ever happened. There were no lockdowns. There was no COVID. The jabs don't matter. And they're just, I have friends like this. I know people like this. They just have no concern in the world. It was all last year and into this year a little bit. And now we're all normal again. It's strange to think that everything that was done, you know, it really is like a calm before the storm, isn't it? That's the weird thing. Why would the powers that be go through all of this COVID drama to just end it now? Is it because too many people are waking up and too many people are fighting back? I can't see it, man. Why would they go through all this and everything they've done? Look at what they have done. Planetary. You know? That was just absolutely massive. And it showed us how powerless we are, how corrupt our governments are, that we don't live in democracies, and that there's a power structure that runs this planet that can just click their fingers and everybody just has to fall into line. That's the amazing thing. You know, you look at what they have done, and then you think now, oh, it's all over because there's been some protests and people angry about it. It's finished now, is it? It's all gone. I can't see it. So I try to keep my wits about me and just try to, I don't want to be fearful or anything like that. I'm just trying to, I live around a city. I'm in the suburbs, unfortunately, at this current time. I am, and I'm among all the other zombies, and there's nothing I can do. I've got a family. I've just got to move forward. But I'm keeping my eye on everything. And it's hard to navigate and manage not just your personal life and work and family and kids and everything like that, but all of this. But you just got to try and keep everything in focus and don't play into that game of fear, you know. But strange times. There's like this calm before the storm, and all these people who played into the lockdowns and played into this COVID nightmare and psyop and played into the jabs and everything, now it's like they've had one big memory wipe. and they're all just going back to the lives that they had, and they're just taking them back, and they're not concerned with what happened, and they're not going to question, because in their minds it's all over and it's done and dusted. But I sit here just thinking, this is the calm before the storm. This is the calm before the storm. It really seems like that to me. There's something looming on the horizon, and it's moving in slowly, inch by inch. And people they've let down their guard. After being totally terrorized, so strange times. We can't. All we can do is just watch everything very closely. Keep our eyes on everything. Watch every movement. Watch every detail. Cover everything. Stay ahead of the game and prepare. Ourselves for what may be coming. Could be a number of things. What's their next move? Because, as I said, they're not going to go through this whole COVID fake virus thing and lock the whole planet down and go through everything. That was unbelievable last year. 2020 was unbelievable, and 2019 into that as well. It was phenomenal, wasn't it? It was a remarkable. I remember watching those drone scenes and images of just countries all over the world where all the cities were empty. All the coast lines were empty. All the suburbs were empty. There was just no one around. It was just crazy. You know, they did it in Australia as well. Everything was totally and utterly empty. Everyone was locked inside, you know. As to think that that's it. Oh, that's it, is it? What could be coming? What do you think we could expect? I guess we could have a look at that. We could have a look at that. I know there's a 60 Minutes, you know, 60 Minutes Australia. There's a 60 Minutes show on tonight on Channel 9 Sydney. They're doing a show on the Lismore area. Basically, what are these people going to do? Are they going to try to move to higher ground? Are they going to go back into cities? Are they going to move out of there? Are they going to stay put? I haven't watched it. It's not on yet, and I don't like the show, but they're prepping them. They're preparing them now. I mean, that's unbelievable. I think we've always talked about their next move here being some kind of environmental challenges or, you know, weather warfare. You know, this kind of thing. It's funny about their virus. They got these variants still there. You know, they're still threatening with the variants, aren't they? But it doesn't seem to be going anywhere. It's like no one's paying attention anymore. They're over it. So it's weird what their next move's going to be. But I tend to always think, and I've always said here, that it's going to be around food shortages. And I think there's a slow strangulation of that. I think that has already begun. I think many people all over the world and Australia, they're seeing food shortages. So I've got a few articles here that have popped up that are interesting. And there's probably many articles. It's just whatever I'm saving, whatever comes in, whatever's being posted up around the place, and what I quickly flick through. These podcasts, the Night Watch ones, just give me an opportunity to sit down quietly and put out some personal observations, and also go over all the latest just articles that I'm saving, you know. Sometimes, or most of the time, we don't get to do that so much with guests, although we do bring up some. But I do save a lot of these, and they just end up sitting around. So it's good to come in here with you guys and chat about the latest. I'm just gonna cover what's around me at the moment. What people email, what's on Telegram, what comes through. There's a chat room in the Crasfoles members area, so a lot of the guys there, some of the guys there, putting up great info that I've. that I'll cover tonight as well, that I take and share around. So there's a lot of good info out there. And as I always say, the mainstream media is just, the mainstream media in Australia, it's not just that it's just so bad, it's the worst it's ever been. It's the worst it's ever been. They're just so unbelievably terrible. Anyway, cheers, folks. Look, I hope you guys are doing well. And I hope you're spending time with your families and your kids and your loved ones, and you're still working. And it's great to have you here supporting. And I hope you're still studying and doing all of this research and finding out things. And you never let that go. You never let that go. It's important. The most important thing is that you are not injected with this technology, because I still think it's early days, and I still think that we know hardly anything about this. We know a lot, and we're learning a lot, but as I always say, this is like black magic, man. This isn't just something simple. This is like throwing a pebble into a still lake. Once that injection goes into a body, it's like throwing a rock into a lake and just watching those ripples, you know, even from the middle of the lake, work their way all the way back to the banks of the lake on either side and all the way around, you know. It just causes a ricochet, and there's so much going on here that we still don't know. It runs so deep. I'm looking at information today going up of more objects being found, inserting themselves deep into people's tissues and organs, causing all sorts of obstructions and clots. These things almost look like jewelry or tinsel on a Christmas tree at Christmas time. You know, it's so weird. It's almost, even within that, they have their own language, these objects. This is self-assembling. It seems to have a mind of its own. If we were looking at it working under the power of frequencies, and it seems to be morphing and moving and ebbing and flowing like some kind of electronic tide. It's growing, it's thinking for itself, it's progressing, it's evolving. What's it going to turn into? That's the thing, because it's so weird. What do people have inside them now? I think of that movie Alien, you know, where the guy comes out his stomach, you know, the alien at sea. I mean, Jesus crikey, what the hell is breeding inside of people? You know? And so we're seeing more, and we're going to see more. And the injuries and the deaths are going to mount from these jabs, and it's going to come. We're going to see such high strangeness. Then you'll notice, like, this Yvette Darth whore in Queensland, this so-called health minister. This is what they're doing now. Last year, they almost threatened people to get these jabs, and now they're denying any responsibility, and they don't know why. There's a 40% increase in heart-related issues after the jabs. Look at this one. I put this up. It was on Twitter today. I think it's from maybe a politician or something. David Crisafulli, seems to be some kind of politician or something. Does anyone know him? David Crisafulli. Breaking, this is the PA hospital on Brisbane's south side right now. Ambulances are double parked and Queensland police vehicles are also waiting to unload patients. My office has just been sent this photo from an emergency service worker. And there's a photo there of ambulances backed all the way back with their lights on waiting. And police cars as well. Not normal police cars, like actual police vans. Unloading patients, apparently. This is really interesting, isn't it? We've been talking about the sirens, the never-ending sirens, especially last year and into early this year. They were waking me up in the morning and going all day. And then people started talking about online and social media that they're turning their sirens off. And I've spoken to people about this. They're like, you're crazy. You're a conspiracy theorist. You're taking it too far. And maybe I am. But are they? Because I tell you what I have noticed driving around and just around my neighborhood. And I've seen it a few times now. I've seen ambulances parked out in front of houses. And I never heard them come in. I've been there all day. They just seem to be quietly slotting outside houses now. And I mean, is that what they're doing? Don't they have to turn on their sirens? Is there a law that says that they have to turn on their sirens? Or are their sirens just sort of a way to get through traffic and warn other cars? Because I'm not hearing any now. And this is like the last maybe month. Isn't it weird? And so if you're not hearing ambulances, then there's no chance of the herd getting spooked, which probably wouldn't spook them anyway, because most of them will be lined up outside a COVID-19 inoculation center, and they'll see people being stretched out with sheets over them, and they're just twitching under there, you know, and there's and an arm flops out, you know, and the body falls on the floor, and they quickly scoop it back up, and they'll just check the time and work, you know, keep texting on Facebook and looking at Facebook and stuff, and they'll be lining up for their shot. As I said, they'll be, you know, next it will be lining up for a shot in the head. A nice piece of hot lead in the head. Takes a lot to spook the average human today, if we're looking at what I'm talking about now. But I guess if you really want to spook them, you cut off their Netflix, or you know, shut down their internet or take away their phone. You know what I mean? Used to be like that back in the day, didn't it? You used to see on the comedies where the dad would lose his remote for the TV, you know, back in the 70s and that, for the 80s, you know, when there was no mobile phones, you'd lose the or misplace the TV remote. you go bananas, you know. You take away people's phones and teenagers' phones now, they go bananas. They go crazy. It's like removing one of their limbs or taking out a vital organ, you know. Remember I was telling you ages ago about the woman and the daughter that lived behind me in a granny flat that were fighting that night? And it was, and you, the whole street could hear it. And I was having a little bit of a fire out there, and I was just sitting there quietly. I mean, I wasn't spying on them. I was just listening. You couldn't. They were screaming, and it all was about the girl, the teenage girl who was 14, being in her room and constantly on the phone. And the mother went bananas. And then there was this big fight in there, and the mother took the phone from the 14-year-old girl, and I heard the mother say, "You're 14. You shouldn't be doing this. You should be being a 14-year-old kid. What are you doing?" And all of this, and she took the phone off her. And the 14-year-old girl, her voice changed, and she said, "Give me back that phone." No, you know, I was thinking of that voice from the Exorcist movie, you know. It's like now when you take a teenager's phone in their room at night, you're dealing with the exorcist, you know? Bloody hell. You know when the priest goes into the room and the exorcist and it's kind of sitting up on the bed and it's talking to him in that gravelly voice, trying to manipulate him and everything, and it's all icy in there? I know your mother, you know, talking about his mother and looking at him with the eyes and that. And that freaked me out when I was little. And it's trying to get into his head, you know, and it's sitting lopped up on the bed, you know. Trying to get into his mind. I mean, that's what happens when you take teenagers' phones, because it's like they're like heroin addicts. They're like addicted to it. And you take that device away, her voice changed. I heard it. And she started swearing at the woman and everything. And then there was this terrible meltdown. And the lady said, get out of this house. Leave now. Get out. And she's crying. Where am I supposed to go? This was all because she's on that phone. You know, I was at the park the other day with a little one. Just waiting for the wife. Just doing a couple of things. And we got some sushi and a coffee. And I was just at this park on the beach. It's a nice kind of outlook. And I saw this, I was pushing the little one on the swings, and I saw this lady there, and the little girl, she was very small, she was trying to climb up on the swing, and she was asking for her mother to prop her up there on her bum and give her a push, and the woman was on the phone. And I kind of peeped over a little bit, she was on Facebook. I could see it, you know? Yes, I'm kind of like a bit of a perv, I know, I'm just interested. I'm like a fly on the wall, can't help myself. I'm interested in what people do, you know. It's strange. And I was just thinking, look at this lady. She's completely ignoring this child. It was a nice little girl too. She wasn't spoiled or anything. She just wanted mum to put her up on the swing because she couldn't climb up properly. And the woman would not put down the phone. Put it down. And she's just texting with this bent over thumb, you know. And I was thinking, far out. I didn't even have my phone on me. So don't take it out, really. And then the girl ended up trying to get up. I was going to help her. I felt bad, and she tried to get up, and then she flipped over backwards and knocked her head. You know, and then she came over, and she's like, are you okay? And she's got the phone in one hand, in her left hand, and she's like trying to... I just can't believe it. I can't believe this. It's like, my God, your child could be drowning in the sea and you're just on the phone, you know? You know that old saying that we used to make jokes ages ago, that people walk into incoming traffic or into water fountains or off cliffs? I'm sure they'd walk into a massive meat grinder, you know, on the phone, texting on, you know, and looking on Facebook. You know, just sausage mince coming out the other end, you know? It's like, bloody hell. They would seriously walk straight off a cliff. Isn't it amazing? So, you know, the control that these phones have over people's minds is, wow, man, it's fucking, jeez, it's powerful. I tell you, it's powerful. It's powerful, folks. It seems to me much more concentrated than your average TV screen, you know, which does lull people down, especially, you know, children, lulls them into a sleep-like state, you know, where they're kind of not here and they're not there. But those Apple iPhone screens, there's something with that, you know, that's so powerful. There's a presence there, you know. There's a disturbing presence behind those phones. There's some kind of energy or frequencies coming out of there that is zapping people's minds into a zombie-like state. It's crazy, man. I'm like, look at this fucking woman. Like, this kid could walk over the road out the thing and in front of a car and she'd be on that phone, you know? It's really something that I thought would start to go away a bit more, that maybe people are wising up to this, but it's worse than ever, man. It's worse than ever. You know, they're whacking those phones out. They're almost... It's just incredible. It's amazing. And sometimes I don't even see where the phone comes from. Some of them don't even have pockets. I'm like, where did you get that? It's like, you know, it's like that movie Taxi Driver, you know, when he's got the gun up in his wrist and he clicks it out and throws it out and it's, you know, you're talking to me. It's like they're, you know what I mean? It's hard to explain. It's like part of their hand already. It's really weird. You see them there and they're like got a t-shirt on and stuff and then they like flick their hand and this phone appears, you know. So where did that come from? He wasn't holding that. I don't know. It's like a card trick. They're moving it out of their pockets or wherever they've got it so fast and the phones are so black and so sleek. You know, the Apple iPhones are all this glass molding now and they're so slick and thin. They're just it's like a and then they, it's gone again and they're talking away, they're having a coffee. It's like, where'd that guy's phone go? You know, next minute, it's like coming out of his wrist. Like the Spider-Man web, you know? It's crazy. Like, Jesus Christ. I mean, my phone's clunky and I like have to carry it around and knock it around. I'm always losing it and I pick it up and then you see me put it down. These, it's crazy. It's so weird how it's becoming part of them, part of their presence, part of their lingo, you know, part of their demeanor, part of their skin, their makeup, everything, you know. And it's just the way they revolve around the phone and the way it interacts with them. It's, you hardly notice it anymore. That's what I'm saying. It's very hard to explain. It's almost like they're just so professional and so good at handling those phones. You don't even see it anymore. It's crazy. I'm always dropping the phone, so there's so many cracks in the back and on the screen. Even that's why I don't buy new phones, because as soon as I get it, I'm going to drop it and it's going to crack the screen. It's so clunky. You know? Really weird times. Anyway. I've gone way, way, way out into the sea here. I'm going to make my way back to the shore, because I've gone way off target. Sorry about that, folks. Sorry about that. I've gone way off. I was talking about COVID and what could be next. And so I've got a couple of articles here to cover. Just to read over, I think it's important. First one was from Health Impact News from today. Yesterday. Are you prepared for food shortages? So the FBI has issued a warning, apparently. Ransomware attacks on agricultural cooperatives, potentially timed to critical seasons. Private industry notification. Have you guys seen this? The FBI. 20th of April 2022. There's a PIN number and everything there. They're talking here about that on this website they've been warning and talking about this for ages now, how fragile the food system is, and where just a handful of companies control most of our the food supply, and the food supply, of course, with this article in the United States. I think in Australia we're in a bit of a better situation because we are a very remote island and we do grow a lot of food, but because of, you know, because we don't even have a government and they're just criminal pedophiles under mind control, we're, you know, they implement this. But my God, I mean, from what I know, Australia can produce 3 to 4 times more food than what we even need. There's just so much food in Australia, it's ridiculous. So much water, so much food. There's nothing really to worry about. So it's manufactured. But this has been slowly, incrementally happening for a while in the US. But it is a sad system because, yes, it is true that a handful of companies own absolutely everything because we, the consumer, have supported them for so long and it's all rubbish. it's really frightening and staggering to look at some of these big companies and what they own. You know, it could be 100 products you like, all are owned by the same company, you know? It's really unbelievable. It's like almost every beer you drink, you get all these beers and premium beers and boutique beers, and it's all Carlton United breweries, you know? All these products are just being bought up by these big companies. And I can never ever think that that is a good thing. We need more choice. You know, we need lots more choice. That's why I support small growers. You know, I do get some packet and think packet stuff and stuff, you know, these things, but I try to buy stuff that's a bit more unique. It does cost a little bit more. But man, I guess just the consumers are wanting to get whatever's on special and whatever's cheap, but they're not looking at the system behind that, you know? It is very scary that it is a big worry that big, massive companies own so much. And I find that if you're looking at what I said before, like beer and things like that, you'll find that you'll get these good products, like just for an example, like you get like a good boutique beer that you enjoy for years, and then that microbrewery will sell out to Carlton United. Carlton United or Lion Nathan or one of those. And then they'll buy it up. And then what they do is they cheap out on the ingredients, they change the location of the manufacturing of it, you know, they change the water, things like that, and they keep the same label and everything. They might make it bigger or smaller, but then you buy it and then it just tastes, yeah, it's lost it. That unique imprint is gone. It just tastes like their shit now, you know, that's what they do. Which is sad. But, you know, I guess someone comes up with a good product and they start making a lot of money, and then these big companies come in like a big umbrella and they say, boom, we'll give you this. You know, and take the money and run, mate. But it is a worry when we're looking at this. Because if we had more independent growers and food producers, you know, and dairy and everything that we need, if we had a lot more choice, then it would be much more difficult to bring them under control, wouldn't it? That's what they're doing. And anyone who's doing small stuff, they're snuffing them all out. They're getting rid of them, you know? So they can't even be on the land anymore, and it's only these big companies that operate. So they're talking about articles here about this and kind of genocide, really. So unmasking the global food cartel is massive starvation and population reduction, their next move. If you have not read the article yet, please consider it must reading. There are many indications that food shortages will soon start, from the war in Ukraine to the lockdowns in China that are putting tremendous pressure on supply chains that will most certainly impact food security across the planet. In addition, it has been widely reported this week in both the corporate and alternative media that there have been a rash of food processing plants catching fire on all of a sudden. But perhaps the biggest indicator that food shortages are on the horizon is in the not-so-distant future, was a published FBI warning regarding potential ransomware attacks on agricultural cooperatives. And I've already seen this. They did this to one of America's biggest meat producers, I think, and a few others. And there was one in Florida, wasn't there, with the water and stuff. They had these ransomware attacks. The summary of that is the FBI is informing food and agriculture sector partners that ransomware attacks may be more likely on the sectors during critical planting and harvest seasons, disrupting operations, causing financial loss, and negatively impacting the food supply chain. Says the FBI noted ransomware attacks during these seasons against six grain cooperatives during the fall of 21 harvest, and two attacks in the early 2022 that could impact the planting season by disrupting the supply of seeds and fertilizer. Cyber actors may perceive cooperatives as lucrative targets with a willingness to pay due to the time-sensitive role they play in agricultural production, although ransomware attacks against the entire farm-to-table spectrum of the FA sector occur on a regular basis. The number of cyber attacks against agricultural cooperatives during key seasons is notable. According to a 2022 Joint Cybersecurity Advisory authored by cybersecurity authorities in the United States, Australia, and the United Kingdom, ransomware tactics, and techniques continued to evolve in 21. Sophisticated high-impact ransomware incidents against critical infrastructure organizations increased globally. The FBI, the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, and the National Security Agency observed incidents involving these ransomware attacks against 14 of the 16 U.S. critical infrastructure sectors. So, this is all by design. And they did this with COVID-19, didn't they? And now they've also done it with this cybersecurity attacks. So if they've done it with COVID-19 before COVID-19 hit, they did an actual simulation, didn't they? Then they did this. So what does that tell you? Oh, it's very obvious to me that this is all part of the Great Reset and the Agenda 2030 process. And so the Great Global Reset's not just going to be about a fake virus. They're going to take everything off the table and wipe it away and bring in the new system, which is all part of the transhuman agenda. And the new technology and the new beast system and the new grid. Introducing the devil into our lives, basically, through technology. So that's how they're going to do it. So you would see that first it's injecting humans, the virus thing, then it's going to be food and, you know, security and, you know, electricity and the whole grid and everything like that, possibly a water and everything as they move down. Are you prepared for food shortages? Whole grains can be stored indefinitely. So if you are looking for food that can be stored indefinitely and provide security against food shortages, you need to be looking into storing whole grains, such as wheat berries. Whole grains have historically been the best defense against food shortages because in their unmilled state, they can be stored indefinitely if stored properly and then either cooked directly as a cereal like rice or ground into flour or baked goods or also sprouted. You can get in Australia biodynamic whole wheat berries. I think Demeter is one, and there's many. You can get it in bulk, so you can buy the wheat berries, and if you store them in the proper tubs or in the sack, maybe they come in the sacks. If you get them in bulk, you know, that would definitely be something. And as I said, you can sprout the wheat as well to have wheatgrass. But you can cook it up as a cereal. You can have it in a hot drink. You can ground it up into a flour. You can do all sorts of things with it. Also here, of course, I used to do this a lot, so I know quite a bit about it. You can make fresh sprouts, or even you can grow it into a grass, which is the wheatgrass, and you can juice it. And that's it's a powerhouse of nutrition. It's amazing, you know, I know I did that for years. I know how to do all this and different ways to do it. And it's amazing. You sprout these berries of wheat and this green grass grows out of it. You know, it's amazing. It's an amazing thing. That's a simple thing. And I've always talked about that, you know, alfalfa and all these kind of sprouts that you can get very cheap in the packs. You can start storing those away. You only need a little bit. And you can, if anyone wants any information, I've got a lot of information and I've learned a lot on sprouting. There's a few different ways and there's a couple of really easy ways that you can do it using just glass jars and stuff. And you just grow it in your kitchen and it just fills the whole jug up, you know. And you put it in the sun and then, the you know, all the tips of it go green because the chlorophyll, you know. So the sun's energy turns that alfalfa and stuff green, you know, and that's a powerful whack of chlorophyll being developed there. So that's you're eating a living thing, and this is full of your aminos, raw aminos, which builds protein and also live enzymes. But I'm interested in that. I've got a little books on it too. A little books on that. That's a good one. So there's a lot of information up. I like this kind of information. I think it's really important for people to do. And when you look at a lot of this information, milling, sprouting, dehydrating, grinding grains and flour, sourdoughing, preparing grains, even making your own beer, things like that, active sourdough starter culture systems, sourdoughing fermentation, long, all this kind of stuff. What is it called? I've had a brain freeze, folks. Oh boy, I hate that. It's basically the fermentation of carrots and things. It's awesome for you. It's really good. It's like yogurt. Sauerkraut. There you go. I'm not getting too old. Sauerkrauting. Man, this is such an important thing for us to learn, isn't it? And I've been on like Gumtree. I would just recommend this to people. Go on Gumtree and a few other places. And you'll find people online who will send you the sourdough starter. They'll send it to you, and that's it. You're done. You just keep using it to make all your bread, you know, and everything you want to do. Whole grain sourdough breads at home, you know. And it's also interesting. I've done many podcasts on this and talking about the phytic acid. This is the phytic acid in grains and things, and especially in modern white bread and stuff that blocks the absorption of minerals in your body. So for your teeth and bones and everything. So sourdoughing or having sourdough bread and doing that, you know, and things like beer, soaking all this stuff, it breaks that phytic acid down and gets rid of it. Not entirely, but a lot better. So, you know, we want this long sourdough fermentation in our breads and things like that. And when you look at all this stuff, it's going back, isn't it? It's going back. This is what our ancestors did. This is the knowledge throughout time that is incredible that we have ignored and lost. That's what the amazing thing is here. When you're doing all this, you are going back in time. That's what they did back in the old days. And that's what I've been saying on this podcast over and over again. We have to go back. We have to go back.
Yeah.
And people don't want to go forward here into this transhuman abyss. This hellhole of technology where they're going to wipe away your soul. It's going to be replaced with technology. People are being merged with technology. People are being merged with technology. They're becoming technology. Their minds are becoming technology, but they're not aware of it because they're forgetting. Technology is starting to dominate people's lives, just like the woman I talked about before. Her own child fell over and cracked its head, and she was on the phone the whole time. She couldn't even push her little one on a swing. I was looking at a ghost, hunched over, looking into a fucking black phone. It's sad. It's like it's a beautiful sunny day, the ocean's roaring past, you know. People are having food and talking and you're just on this phone and your own child's demanding your attention and you're ignoring this child at the most precious time of their life. You're going to miss that when they grow up and leave home. You know? This is the most precious time. You've got this little 4-year-old there, three-year-old there. And it's like you're on this phone. And what is so important? Why are you on that phone? What is this importance? Facebook. So what I'm getting into now, I'm going to start getting back into this milling. Might even buy one. Get a cheap grain mill type thing or some way. Get all that. Start getting this sourdough cultures going. Because, you know, if you think about food shortages, if you think that they could starve us. And because we've been so spoiled and people have had it so good for so long, we can't ever imagine that they're going to do that. We can't imagine that we could be starved in any way, but look at what they just did. Look at what they just did. Look what people got injected with. Look what they just shut the planet down. They locked you inside. Look what the government just did and the police forces just did to us, and you think that they can't starve us out? And so, you know, in this kind of situation, you got to forget about your meat. You got to forget about those kinds of animal products a little bit, unless you have some chickens or you live on a farm. But if you having some chickens is good, because eggs is, whoa, boy. Eggs are the ultimate nutrition. They got everything. Now, always pinpoint eggs, avocados, coconut oil, this kind of stuff is really nutritious, you know. But eggs are so, boy, you can't beat them. You can't beat eggs. Can't beat them. It's the perfect, perfect food. And if you've got some happy chickens clucking around, they give you an egg a day, this is a good thing. But, you know, in this kind of system, if this happens, if we get starved out or something happens here, you know, they have this cyber attack and they've already practiced it. So I'm just saying, we've covered this many times. You really want to start storing away everything that you can. And we've done shows and shows on this, you know, all your canned stuff and everything, you know, everything that you can think of. But you know, those sacks of grain berries, you can do a lot with those. You know, you can do a lot with biodynamic or organic Australian raw oats, right? And for example, with biodynamic or raw organic oats, right? It's a really good nutrition. There's a lot in that. Powerful nutrition. protein, lots of stuff that you need, right? Really good. What you can do is you can buy big sacks of that. So cheap in Australia, you can order those, you know, you can buy big bags of this stuff. It's so cheap. And what you do with raw oats, whole oats, organic, biodynamic, untouched, just the whole thing, is before you go to bed at night, you put your bowl and you put some oats in there and you put filtered water in there, level it up, and you let it soak and you cover it with some glad wrap or foil. Leave it there all night. And when you get up in the morning, it's soaked in and the oats are ready to go. They're all softened. And it actually, you'll get this oat milk that's mixed with the water. And you get all the good stuff in there. So all you do is put it into a pan, into a pot, and you just heat it up. You don't even need to add milk. Because the water's made this like nice sort of whitish oat milk. You know what I mean? From the soaking. And it's this whole thing going on in there. It's amazing. And then in the morning, you just heat it up, put a little bit of organic maple syrup or a little bit of coconut sugar on top or a couple of bananas or strawberries or things like that. You've got a whole meal. How much does that cost? And you're long soaking it. Yeah. Also, I recommend getting a slow cooker. I got an old slow cooker. I put a chicken in there at night and just slow cook it for like 14 hours. I get up in the morning and it's I've got the broth and you put some apple cider vinegar in there when you're slow cooking it, and that helps to leach all that good stuff out of the bones. So you've got your bone broth, your great broth, and you've got the chicken. And then you can make a whole chicken soup for the week, for the kids, everybody. It's super nice. I do that all the time. Chop up some veggies, garlic, things like that. You put it in there, it's great. And then you've got your sourdough bread. Vegetables, really important. Donna was talking about that the other night. And we're getting into this now, all this way that you can reuse scraps and keep regrowing and stuff like that. You've got to go back to basics here, I think. But these kinds of, things that they're talking about here is quite, really important thing to have, because you can get sacks and big sacks of this stuff and big bags. How cheap is rice? And it's not going to do you no harm. Cans of beans, all this stuff. We just don't know what's going to happen here. I got a million tips. Anyway, on all the sorts of different things you can do. But that's an important one. And it was just interesting to me reading that, because, it really is going back, isn't it? It's going back to the old days. That's our calling, to return, to keep it real, man. We can't go down this path. The future is not a digital one for me, man. It's organic and real. It's human. I don't want this shit. It's bullshit. I'd be perfectly happy if it's necessary. Although I myself, I'm not going to be a hypocrite. I do enjoy the comforts of modern society. I do. I do enjoy a bit of TV and doing this and all of that, and having a car and having work and money in my pocket and things like we all do. And we want to have a good life, and we want to supply for our families and ourselves, and we want to thrive and be happy and live our lives. And there's nothing wrong with that. And we can use technology in a good way to benefit us. It's just, as I said, everything's inverted, and we have a satanic beast system, an entity, controlling every aspect of our lives here that wants to do bad. It's just good and bad, man. Let's hope that good wins out. And this is what I always said, man. Look at these jabs. They're attacking us through the heart center. And the heart is the gateway to everything. Once that heart gets taken away, then they'll take away that consciousness, man, or the connection to it. they're attacking us through our hearts. Because that's the most emotionally, for example, complex place. You know, that runs everything. When you die, your heart stops. When other things stop, you can have surgery and keep going. But when your heart stops, you're gone, right? That's everything. The heart's everything. And that's why all these jabs that people are getting are going through the heart, and everyone's getting heart inflammation and all of this, you know, heart attacks and myocarditis and all of this. It's very obvious to me. This is an attack on our core, who we really are, you know. And what did I say years ago doing this podcast? What's the most important critical points of transhumanism to wipe what we are off the table? They got to first break us down. And humans are complex. You know, so they gotta work on us over decades, centuries, breaking down, working out. You know, look at the pineal gland, the crystal, the third eye, the consciousness, afterlife, the soul. You know, our immune systems, the incredible complex system that makes us all up. That's what it's been about. That slow, incremental breaking down. Until we're just not there anymore. And we're at that point now where this is the point where they're gonna go for the throat. This was an interesting one from Humans Are Free. If we're just staying on the food thing tonight, several very large food processing and distribution plants have recently exploded or been burned down. As food uncertainty lingers on the horizon thanks to US sanctions and government decimation of the economy because of the COVID, right? So all planned and done by design during the past 2 years, there is another factor contributing to the problem. Since the beginning of the year, there have been several very large food processing facilities that have exploded or burned to the ground across the United States. We know about this. All these meat companies. Meat. It's all meat places and plants. This week, a vegetable and nut processing facility in Defer, Oregon, became engulfed in flames for no known reasons. Lights flickered, they heard a pop and went up there to check it out, and there was a fire. According to a report made by Wasco County, 9/11 records listed in the Wasco County Sheriff's log, the independent distributor of natural organic and non-GMO foods, which employs around 150 people, burned to the ground. 1 week before that fire in Oregon, a massive fire brought down a meat processing plant in Conway, New Hampshire. After burning for 16 hours, multiple fire crews finally put out the fire at East Conway Beef and Pork, but the facility is completely destroyed. That same week in Salinas, California, a massive fire at the Taylor Farm processing facility led to the evacuation of residents as it burned for over 17 hours. That's a major agriculture company that processes and delivers many of the salad kits seen in grocery stores. The cause of this fire is currently under investigation. The packets of salad, you see. They burned us in Australia, didn't they? Burn, burn, burn. This is what they do. They burn everything. Look at their so-called medicine. What is it? Cut and burn. Burn the forest. This is what Sharon was talking about, Daphne, you know? this is their system. Burning. Deserts. Burn. The devil. Just weeks before that, a massive fire engulfed a Walmart distribution center in Plainfield, Indiana, where over 1,000 employees shipped food and other supplies all over the region. The fire destroyed the massive 1 million square foot operation. That same week, one of the largest food facilities of its kind in South Texas caught fire and burned to the ground. Prior to burning down, the Rio Fresh facility in San Juan, Texas, grew, packed, and shipped a variety of Texas-grown items, including Texas 1015 sweet onions, melons, greens, cabbage, kale. The cause of the fire is not known. In Oregon, in Hermiston, in February, a massive food processing facility suddenly exploded, injuring 7 of the nearly 400 employees who work at the plant. And there's all videos here as well. It's just, these places are burning. It's not only food production and distribution plants. In Arizona, a massive fire wiped out Maricopa Food Pantry, which distributes food to the less fortunate. Goes on and on. So what's going on here? You know? Now here from Cairns News, in Australia, culling of cattle herd and cattle stations on Cape York Peninsula. Part of the depopulation plan by disrupting food supplies. They're doing it on purpose, see? They're burning down facilities and all of this, killing livestock, shoot-to-kill cattle operations in Australia, in Cape York. Must stop. Member for Hill Shane Knuth said, Mr. Knuth said, for years, Parks and Wildlife have been performing shoot-to-kill operations, indiscriminately killing unbranded and branded cattle, often without any or little notice to surrounding landowners who own most of those cattle. Cattle are continually being shot landowners are given permission to enter parks to muster their cattle, which is huge economic loss to the region. He said over the past 3 years, more than 5,000 cattle, which could be worth more than $6 million on the market, have been shot in orders from the Department of Environment. The question is, why are neighbouring properties to Cape York National Parks given only 1 week's notice or no notice at all before killing all their cattle? And they don't even get notice to muster the cattle up or anything. And these conditions can be dangerous and difficult. It is quite obvious that the government wants to drive these farmers out of the region so they can lock it up to meet their environmental agenda. That's what they're doing on the North Coast right now, flooding people out, right? That's what's happening. And they're talking about all these ridiculous rules that nobody can meet through the Queensland Parks and Wildlife Services and having to get all these applications. Looks like national parks, maybe they're trying to purchase more land. And the Labor Party in Australia are intent on removing the last remaining pastoralists, landowners and cattle growers, or graziers, out of that area. Of course. Talking about this area having 1 million feral pigs and tens of thousands of wild dogs. Yeah, but stupid Australians keep voting for the Labor Party and the Liberals and all of this. So that's what's going on there, huh? So those are interesting articles, aren't they? And that's just a couple that I've saved. So you have a situation where you're getting all these food plants and processing facilities and cattle stations and everything being caught on fire at the same time for no reason. Burned down to the ground. You got floods happening where people are being pushed off their farms and properties and out. You know? You've got government agencies going in and just shooting people's cattle and livestock. and making them jump through hoops of fire to even be on there. And then you've got the FBI in the United States warning of massive food shortages on the way. We can't ignore it, folks. We can't. And what do you do? I guess the best thing you do is just prepare. At this current time, right now, there's a lot of food around. It's still, you know, you can go and get it and just prep. We talk about it a lot. You know, prepping. And not worrying about it too much. And if you can't afford the expensive stuff, just get the canned stuff and the rice and the wheat berries and what I told you, the raw oats and this kind of stuff. Just keep it all dry. If you want eggs for 6 months, put coconut oil on the eggs and put them in a cool, dark place. Eggs go off because the air gets through the shell. If you want to know if an egg's fresh, just shake it up to your ear. If you hear it rattling in there, there's air in there. So put the coconut oil on. But as I said, you know, I was saying that, and maybe if you've got a garage or something where you're storing everything, get a freezer because, you know, one of those old freezers that with the lid that you lift up, you can get them on Gumtree and stuff like that. That could be a good thing because you can store all your meat and butter and milk and things like that in there, you know what I mean? You can just fish, smoked fish, all that kind of stuff, store it all in there. Whatever you want to have, but then if you're looking at a situation, are they gonna attack the power supply? Are we gonna be without power, or are they just gonna have food shortage problems? If they have food shortage problems and we still have power, then I would highly recommend getting a fridge and a freezer for your garage or wherever you're storing your supplies, because you know, one of those deep freezers. But I guarantee you they're going to start going really quick. If you've got to buy a new one, you know, an industrial one, maybe do it. Get a big one, you know, and because how long can you freeze meat and stuff for? You know, it's a good option. Butter, very important. Butter, man, vitamin D3 and vitamin A. And all the good fats. In conditions where you got to eat more rice or wheat or soups and veggies or whatever, you know, beans, things like that, if you have butter, you know, this is a very, very good thing. We don't know if it's going to be a power supply hit or an entire hit. We don't know. I just think they're going to start. I'm not seeing it yet, so I'm not going to panic and I'm not pushing anything negative out there. I'm just saying, you know, look at what I've just read tonight. I kind of look at this as a bit of a warning. Maybe they're gonna start doing something with the food supply here. They seem to be forgetting about all the COVID virus stuff. Everyone's injected now. You're hooked up. So now we don't, you know, we're going to move on with this into the next phases. It's obviously not all about being injected. Obviously, to me, the injections are just part of this whole plan. That's just part of it. So while you're alive, the best thing to do, even if it doesn't last, even if we go out, at least you did it, is prep. We've been mentioning it on almost every show, especially with Donna. I understand gardens are hard, so don't worry too much. I would say, if you want to grow a garden, do the pungent stuff that's really super good for you. Parsley, basil, herbs that you can put into foods that's going to give you a good hit. You know what I mean? Garlic, chives, onion chives, garlic chives. Do some garden beds with all that in there. Don't worry so much about having massive gardens. And you know what? Fruit is really difficult. Maybe it's not for people who live in good areas with good soil or whatever, or the right climates or microclimates, but it can be a bit of a pain. Grow all those things. you know, those Italian kind of Mediterranean herbs, really good. Parsley is super good. It's full of iron. And it's very green with your chlorophyll, which I said before. Coriander. You know, go to the markets on the weekend, get your coriander, your basil, your, you know, like your garlic, your spring onions, all that kind of stuff. You know, your parsley, all that. And just have, grow it all in the gardens and pick at it. Get your non-hybrid organic seeds to grow stuff. You know, have a seed saving bank. Get an old cupboard or an old drawers and just put them all in there and label them. Label everything. Make everything neat. You know, have your bin with your torches and batteries and candles and all that light stuff, you know, and have a bin with this and, you know, have blankets and things like that, you know. As I said, go to the camping stores, go to the Kmart, go to those places. You can get the cookers, the camping stoves. They're nothing. And you get the butane gas canisters. You get them from Bunnings, like packs of 10. And you can cook. Start storing your firewood. You know, get your first aid stuff, your knives, your things that you need, you know, all of that, and just store it all away. I guess camping gear, if you've got it, start working out what kind of camping gear you've got and organizing it. Water filters, get more filters. As I said a million times, if you're asthmatic, get extra puffers, get any medication you need. Get extra bottles of water, 10 litres bottles of water, start stacking them up. Get a water tank. If you're staying where you are, get a water tank. Get filters. You know, get bug out bags. Get bags and bags and bags of flour and rice and oats. Get a beehive. Put a beehive in if you're staying put. You've got unlimited honey. Raw honey's full of nutrition and it will sweeten everything that you have. You won't need sugar, nothing. You know? Get big bags of sea salt. Everything that you can think of. I could be here all night. You guys know. I'm sure many people are well ahead of this, man. There's so much you can do. I'm just saying that the storable food, like the stuff that you buy for survival, it's really good, but far out it can be expensive. It's a bit expensive, you know? But if you go in and you look at all the specials in the supermarkets, usually from Tuesday or Wednesday, I mean, go into Aldi. Hey man, what's wrong with a can of organic beans that's going to last you another couple of years? Noodles. Cans of soup, tomato paste is really, really rich in lycopene, vitamins, in this kind of situation, if we're going to have food shortages and problems, you can't worry too much about fresh fruit and things like that. Get extra things, you know. Dried fruits. Learn how to dry everything out or dehydrate stuff. That's really good too. You know, packs of things, organic raisins, everything, just big bulk stuff. Aldi's really cheap. Cans of tuna, cans of salmon. I was in Aldi the other day, they had these huge cans of wild Alaskan salmon just shoved in there. I don't know how many years that lasts, but you know what I mean? They had this smoked trout, tuna. It was all like half the price of what Coles and that have. You know, big yellow cans of yellowfin tuna. Have a look at the expiry date on that. How long is it? What will that last you into 2023, 24 maybe? Get it. Store it up. Protein. Nothing wrong with that. Tuna, rice. You know, as I said to Donna the other night, I've been sent deals for Australian wine deals where you get like 12, 13 bottles of wine for hardly anything and they drop it at your door. If you like wine, store it up. If you like your booze, you like beer, grab an extra case of beer here and there and put it in your shed. Learn to make beer. Go and get a beer making kit and you can actually make it. You know? Get board games, things you might need, all that sort of stuff, you know. Extra stuff, whatever you can think of. I know it's a pain, folks. Kind of turn it into a hobby or a bit of a sport. Extra fuel. Try to get a gun license, maybe, so you're armed. That would be a good thing. There's a couple of shooting ranges around me. It sucks in this country. Not only did they disarm us, but they make it so hard. But definitely a handgun would be a good thing to have, you know? But there's knives, swords, things you can get, all sorts of things. You know, you've freeze-dried things, coffee, all that kind of stuff. As Donna was saying the other night, we were talking about, you know, the long life milk in the cartons you can get from Coles and Woolies, you know, long life organic milk. It's not too bad, you know, or the powder, you know, tins of Milo, things like that, Weet-Bix, cereals, whatever you can find, just stack it all away and make a nice, neat area, make a game of it, make it a hobby, make it something you enjoy. And at the end of the day, in the next couple of years, if nothing happens, and I'm still talking to you like this, and all's good, and they didn't do anything, and there was no attack on our lights or on our energy grid or on our food supply, and they didn't, and this Agenda 2030 system isn't coming, and nothing's happening in the next 2 years. Let's just look at the next year or 2 years. Then at least you did it. Give it to charity. Chuck it away. I don't know, but it's worth it. You know what I mean? Get all your dried fruits, goji berries, all that kind of stuff, nuts, peanuts, everything that you can think of. It's so cheap. Every time you do a shopping, get extra for your pile and start doing it. As I said on the last podcast and a few podcasts, if you look at Tuesday night or Wednesday shopping for Coles and those places, they have half price. And if you shop online, you'll see half price, and you just click on that, go into the half price. I don't care what it is. Toothbrushes, deodorant, light bulbs, you know, freeze-dried coffee. They have all sorts of mix of things, you know. Get whatever's half price. And order it, do a shopping online and they bring it to your door and store it away. Forget it. In 2 weeks later, you'll be like, wow, I've got a whole shopping there. You know what I mean? Get the half price specials because that might not last. We don't know what's through the next door. We don't know here. I just think that this is a common theme that we've been chatting about this year. We've been bringing it up a lot, and Donna's been talking about it, and many of the guests, and it you know, it's kind of like, it is there, you know what I mean? It's definitely there. I wouldn't bring this up if I didn't see it, but now you've got the FBI in the United States warning of food shortages. Come on, folks. I mean, this has been going on for a while now, so I know you guys are already prepared and already know, I'm just saying. You know, this is, I think this is coming. I mean, think about how old you are. Say you're 20, say you're 30, say you're 35, say you're 45, say you're 55, say you're 60, say you're 85, right? In your years, can you think back from when you were a kid to now? And I know, sorry, elderly people went through wars and or maybe some depressions and things, but I mean, you know, I look back my whole life, we've just been fed. I mean, there's never been food shortages, there's never been any worry about food shortages. I mean, they are telling you that this is a threat. There is no food shortage. In fact, if they just fucking allowed people to grow their own food and do their own thing and stopped with all the restrictions and all the bullshit, I mean, there'd be more food than ever. I'm telling you. Especially in Australia. We are in that unique situation where people can just grow so much. I mean, most of Australia's oceans are all protected, so it's just absolutely overflowing with fish and seafood. We have more than enough here. We can grow absolutely anything in this country. Anything. We produce too much. And if people were just allowed to go and live their lives and grow food and have small family farms again, it would just be ridiculous. It already is. There's just so much. I've been to some of these farming places on the weekend, like outlets, you know, and it's like, holy hell, you know. It's just amazing the amount of produce. You know, the amount of dairy and meats and stuff you can buy. It's incredible. So this is a threat. And any food shortages is going to be by design. They're not going to be natural or anything. It's man-made. It's by design. It's on purpose. They're doing it to get control over our lives. So look what they did with COVID and locking us down. It's very easy to understand that they're going to do it with the food. We're dealing with maniacs here and they don't care. So they want control. And so it's not going to be a normal food shortage where there actually really is. They're going to make it happen. So what's the best thing we can do? Start prepping. Start prepping, especially if you're around cities or you're in the suburbs or whatever. Start prepping because there's lots of food now. There's some limitations, but everything's there. Go and get it. Go and get it and stack it up. Eat well now, eat like you normally do now, and live like you normally do now, but have that there just in case that you can fall back onto. And as the months pass, you can go down and down, and there's no problem eating noodles and canned food and stuff like that. Yeah, go to the chemist warehouse and these cheap places, get your bottles of vitamin D3, vitamin C, you know. These kinds of things, vitamin E, the fat solubles, get those, you know, and those things. Multivitamins, the fizzy ones, whatever you can get, who cares? That'll help. It helps, you know. As I said, get the raw bee pollen, the granules, you know, spirulina, all these things, whatever, in the health food stores, get those. The protein things that you mix with water or milk. You know, that have the aminos and everything in there. They're fine as well. You know what I mean? Sort of those drinks like Milo are, where they've got added nutrition in them. They're fine. If you need them, it's good for a treat. And what's wrong with that? Get your big sacks of, raw organic cacao powder. Full of magnesium and iron and goodies. Raw chocolate powder, man. How cheap is that? You got your big packs of raw chocolate powder. You've got your storable, like, long life milk, and you've got your cookers, you know, hot chocolate. You know, this kind of stuff. There's so much, but this is what they're threatening. See, this is what they're threatening because of the staged PSYOP in Russia and Ukraine. It's the grains. That's everything that I'm reading. It's the grains, the wheat, the rice, all this kind of stuff. They're threatening shortages, the cereal stuff. So, you know, we have a lot of that in Australia. It's like we're supposed to believe that because there's some fake war thing going over there with this PSYOP that, oh, Australia doesn't produce any grains. Fucking come on, man. How much corn and wheat and oats and stuff do we produce here? But we're being made to believe there's not enough and everything's coming in to this country, that we get it from everywhere else. Bullshit. We produce more than anybody. Why aren't they talking about how much Australia produces? See, it's manufactured. We produce so many grains in this country, it's ridiculous. Buckwheat. It's a really good one as well. Buckwheat flour, this kind of stuff. You know, pumpkin seeds, full of zinc. Okay, pumpkin seeds are fantastic nuts. Sometimes these things might go rancid, so you've got to store them properly. You can learn how to do that. There's lots of things you can do. But those kinds of, yeah, that kind of grainy stuff, yeah, it will be so important if this happens. It really will, really will. You can forage. There's a lot of people doing survival and foraging classes all around now. You can actually, there's a really good guy teaching you how to forage on the coastal, around the bushes and stuff, different berries and things, what to pick, what you can do with it, how you can store and cook it. That's really good too. There's a lot of bush tucker in Australia. There's a lot of food around that people might not be aware of. But I would say don't worry too much. Just start storing all that stuff, because there's nothing wrong with having this kind of grainy stuff if something happens for a while, until we know more. You know what I mean? At least you got it there. There's nothing wrong with that. But, you know, I go out in the day and I look at people lining up for McDonald's and I think these people are fucking hopeless. They've got no idea. You know what I mean? Because if you're lining up for McDonald's, you are not prepared to eat the basics. If you're lining up McDonald's for a fucking sloppy Big Mac and a thick shake or a fucking bag of chips and all this crap, you know, then you are clearly not going to be ready for, you know, survival kind of stuff, you know, for eating just minimum and the basics and prepping for the whole day from morning till night. And if you've got a family as well, what everybody has a certain amount, so you know how long it's all going to last, you know what I mean? If you're just wasting your life eating that shit, and don't, please mark my words, that McDonald's is a weapon. There's a military weapon you are eating. And I fucking bullshit, it is. I had a cheeseburger for like 6 or 9 months. It doesn't go off. How is that possible? Come on, man. You are eating a fucking military weapon. You are eating something that is not actually food. And people are getting addicted to this. And they're not going to be able to go back to basics. It's going to be very hard for them. So what do you do now? You train yourself. You start preparing. Start doing it now. And it'll be good if you want to lose a little bit of weight too. Just start eating like you are surviving and you have to, you know, really, really take care. That might be a good way to sort of work your way into this. Because as I said, we don't know if this is going to happen. We're just talking about it. We're just talking about it because, you know, that has to be taken very seriously. Their warning of food shortages and through the FBI, we've got to take this seriously, folks. That's all. If you guys have any tips or anything like that, let us know as well in the comments and send me some emails. If you have any good tips on what people could be storing, or how to store it, or any good information that you want to add, or any good links, please let us know. Because I think there's a category on the website for this self-preparedness thing that I need to start updating a little bit, put more stuff in there. You know, it's a good thing. It's a good thing, I think. Humanity as a whole has become too reliant on government, you know, and these big companies just to feed us, you know. Like we need to start getting into this. It's important because, as I said, there's two things here. They did the two things. They did the pandemic drill, which was exactly COVID-19, and they also did the cyber attack drill. And this could be on our food supplies. And then when they do that, that's what I was saying before, we don't know how long it's going to be. It could be just a hit for a certain amount of time. But then when they come out of that hit, everything's going to change for people. Just like the floods. They flood you out. And then when you wake up, they're like, you can't build here. There's new zoning laws. There's this. There's a million and one hoops you got to jump through. we can see there what I was saying before. They're already shooting people's cattle. So now this whole disease, this fake virus paradigm thing is going to go into the animal world as well. They're just going to come in to people's chicken places and things like that, farmers, and say, we determine that these animals are sick and they have this virus, boom, kill them all. You know what I mean? They're going to start doing it too, I'm telling you. And they're going to get more and more power so they can just come in and shut down people's properties and what they're doing. I'm telling you, they're going to start doing that. They can shut everything down. So if they do this, it could be a blanket one for a certain amount of time, and then they're going to, and then on the other end of it, it won't be the same. And so if we have a system, which I still think we do in Australia, where there's more people manufacturing lots of different things, it's a lot harder for them to control. Especially if we start doing it within our communities and we start sharing and connecting in communities. So he's growing this, you're growing that, they're growing that, and we're sharing and we're bartering and selling that kind of wholesale. They don't want that. They want absolute, total and utter control. And that's how they do that. They snuff all the little guys out and they just have the big ones who they control. And nobody else can get a say in the matter. You know? And I think in Australia, we still have that kind of unique situation where we do have a lot of, a lot of people doing different things. But, man, we need to protect this so much, you know? We can see that they're going for the throat now. And I think, I would strongly assume, and I hope I'm wrong, that the next part of the COVID agenda is going to be food shortages and more intense weather situations. Let me know what you think, folks. Am I wrong, or do you think it's going to be, they're going to go with something else? I'm calling, after COVID-19, I'm calling food shortages and weather problems. What do you guys think? Let us know. And I'll be back soon. There's things coming up, so just keep checking in on the website whenever you can, and look for these. And take care, folks. Thanks for your support. Great to be chatting with you tonight, and I'll be back again soon. Take care.